Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Tuesday morning. Well, a lot to get to today, obviously. I mean, today's removed from that. It was an Eagles win, but boy, it didn't feel as much. And obviously yesterday, a Nick Sirianni apology. Look, we really got all four teams on the table, and we'll talk about them today. At some point, we got to get back to the Phils because, you know, there's a lot there from last week, but that's been backburnered a little bit because of what's happened with the Eagles. We'll get into all of it today, including a Paul George injury from last night in which he hyperextended his knee. That's not good. We'll see if he's ready for the start of the season. Who knows? So all of it with you on the table today at 215-592-9494. Obviously, the Eagles and Nick Sirianni, the big deal. By the way, Sirianni on our program today at 840. 840 today, so we look forward to that. Richard Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Siberia has more than one-fifth of the world's forest all by itself.
Wow.
I was thinking about that the other day. Like, if we lived, 600 years ago here, it would have been just trees. Like, trees.
A lot. That's right.
There's no walking. Like, there's just trees jammed up against, I'm guessing, right? We're in a giant forest. This is Penn's Woods. This is a giant, like, how close were these trees? How long did it take to actually cut little paths through this place?
You're right.
Penn's Woods. This place was pretty dense.
I would agree. No cement.
But not as dense as Siberia.
All right, look. Holy mackerel, we got a lot to do. And again, Sirianni, 840 today. I'm going to ask two simple questions to start the show. We'll take them one by one, but I want everyone to have a crack at it. At 215-592-9494. The first is, how do you feel about Nick Sirianni's apology yesterday? Which, you know, let's be real, we don't get many apologies in Philadelphia sports from a player or a coach. He literally apologized yesterday. So I want you to think about that and then be able to react how you feel. The second question we're going to get to is, how do you feel about our football team? I mean, that's like a whole nother wing of conversation. So the apology, how do you feel? The football team, how do you feel? What do you think? All of that, 215-592-9494. Now, before we go any further and comment ourselves with our specific opinions, let's actually just hear the apology because, you know, it was pretty early in the press conference yesterday. It should have been to start the press conference yesterday, which I thought.
Amen.
Right, Rhea? That was a mistake by him.
He should have opened with it.
Yeah.
Open with it, you get ahead of it.
100%.
And it's on you. You're not waiting for someone to ask you.
100%. I thought that immediately was a mistake. Immediately. But let's listen to what he said. It was part apology, part explanation. Here's Nick Sirianni yesterday, the key moment in the press conference.
Have you heard from Jeffrey Lurie at all about what happened yesterday and what was his feedback?
No, Mr. Lurie and I talk every time after the game, every time. I haven't talked to him yet today. I know how supportive Mr. Lurie has been through everything. I would say this about that. What I was really doing, I was trying to bring energy yesterday, energy, enthusiasm yesterday. And I'm sorry and disappointed on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. And, my energy should be all in on coaching, motivating, right, and celebrating with our guys. And so, and I got to have better wisdom and discernment of when to use that energy. And that wasn't the time.
Boy, this wisdom and discernment thing, he really keeps going back to it. All right, John, what's your, and again, everyone, 215-592-9494. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm going to hold off for a second, wait for John. John, your reaction to what you just heard.
You have to have better wisdom. The concept of wisdom is it's an earned, built up concept that a coach creates over time, that he earns the respect and commands the respect eventually because he does good things on the field and otherwise, where He earns it. You have to get to the anyway. You know what? Like, it doesn't. There's a disconnect. There's a disconnect in so many ways. There's a disconnect for me personally, Joe. Like, I was thinking last night watching the halftime of Monday Night Football. But Jason Kelce doing an awesome job. He said something at the end like, This is an amazing game. I can't wait to see, you know, the second half. Something, just a throwaway comment like that. But I thought, it really is an amazing game. And I'm not enjoying this game because there's like a pall that has fallen over my feelings about football in general because of the way I feel about this team and this coach and that apology. Yesterday, I went back and rewound. I watched
the press conference. Oh, I thought you were going to say the Eagles game. I thought I was going to say the Eagles game. I was going, holy hell.
No.
I don't know what's worse, watching the press conference or the Eagles game. All right, so that's interesting. Go ahead. That's interesting.
I went back and listened again at the start because I wasn't sure I caught the apology. I wasn't sure he had apologized. It was so, because it was sort of like, a little bit late and a little bit short and a little bit convoluted, which I guess we've come to expect from Nick when he speaks. But it wasn't quite enough, I guess, if I had to go back and make sure that it was there.
I mean, you just heard it,
like,
but it wasn't.
Things are changed. Does it feel like it really matters to him? Like, I feel like he got in trouble. I feel like he is being reprimanded. Like, his feet were held to the fire. Listen, you got to go do this, you know, from the organization. Like it doesn't feel like, if I'm a player, that I respect that quite the same way I would other coaches and their setups.
So there's a lot to this, obviously. And again, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Here's my answer to the question. All right. How do we feel? How do I feel about the apology? Here's my answer. I think it was nice, but very incomplete. Nice, but very incomplete. First off, he didn't specify anything. I don't actually know what he apologized for. Let's just start with that. Like, it sounds like he's apologizing for that sequence with the fan or fans near the very end of the game when they're in victory formation. But, like, what did you do?
No, what he said was, he's sorry on how my energy was directed at the end of the game.
Yeah, so we don't even quite. So
I have to have better wisdom and discernment.
Right. All right. So number one, I don't really know quite exactly what he apologized for. So that's part of when I say nice.
He
but
apologized
very,
for the way he directed his energy.
Yeah,
Joe.
That's when I say nice but very incomplete. That's why very incomplete. Like, I don't even know quite what he's apologizing for. That's number one. Number two, we don't know what he said. Number three, there's no reference at all to the kids at the podium, which I thought was a massive part of the Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday afternoon reaction all around town. Like, what in the world is going on here? I mean, it's just not appropriate to have the kids at the podium. Let's be real. A lot of people over the last 2 years looked the other way 37 different times, and I'm making up a number, but you get my point. It had happened a lot. Generally speaking, after wins, that's not that big a deal, but it's inappropriate. And in this case, they had just beaten the Cleveland Browns. It wasn't like 2 years ago and they beat San Fran to go to the Super Bowl, okay? They just beat the Cleveland Browns, who were one of the worst teams in all sports. They beat them by 4 points, and it felt to me like he was strutting.
It was defiant.
So the way I feel about what he said yesterday, again, nice, .., but very incomplete. I mean, you know, we got nothing at all about the, I thought, outrageous answer in the press conference the slow starts. We got this. Like,
you guys have to do your job, and you got to fixate on things. I get it. Don't worry about it.
Right. And that goes.
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And that goes to the media, but it's also by way to the fans. The fans are thinking the same thing. And guys, this isn't a 2 to 3 week problem. They never get off to a fast start. They haven't played a complete football game since the early portion of last year. I mean, yeah. Think about that. So it's like, you want to say, like, and look, we'll talk to Nick at 8:40 today. It's like, how can you say we got it when you don't? Right? I mean, it's how can you say we got it when you don't? So my thoughts on the apology, it's nice, but it's far from complete. It's very incomplete. Now,
was it enough for anyone in that building? Like, whoever told
question.
Him he had to apologize.
That's a great question.
Did they feel like that was good?
You'd
like, yeah,
to,
great, Nick. That
John,
really set the record straight, you'd and everyone
to,
knows now.
You would have to ask that to Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie.
Doesn't feel like it's like there's a level of satisfaction or greater understanding or like the team is more locked in now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, all right, so the whole apology thing, totally on the table for you, 215-592-9494. Now, let's get to the team. So how do you feel about the team? I mean, my simple answer is not good. I think they're an average football team. I think when this thing nets out record-wise, the record may be slightly above average. The record may be slightly below average. If you count 8-9 or 9-8 as average, and you know, I mean, essentially there is no average anymore in pro football in 17 games record-wise unless you go 8-8-1, which, okay, come on. So bottom line is I think they're in the average range. I don't think they're a good team. I actually think they're closer to a bad team than a good team, but I think they really probably just net out as an average team. I mean, they've got incredible players in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith who do wonderful things for them. The playmakers on defense are not making enough plays, although the team played a really good defensive game the other day. But you take it with a grain of salt against a horrendous, Browns
bottom
offense.
Dweller.
Just horrendous.
Offense. So, our schedule now, the next several games.
No, they got a shot to win games.
Of course.
But here's the other thing.
A very good chance to win three more.
No,
like,
I
bang, bang, bang.
But I want to add this in also, because this sort of goes to how good the team is, but it kind of goes to something John referenced when he talked about watching Monday Night Football last night and then bringing it back to the Eagles. I got to tell you guys, and there aren't more than three or four years of my life I've said this. The Eagles games are boring.
Oh my God. That's
right?
John, I was thinking that watching last night's game. That was an exciting, like I saw into the third quarter.
Yeah.
The play that Josh Allen made running into the end zone out and then hitting a guy on a for it. They're I watch a lot of red zone on Sunday,
yep.
And I just watch teams that look fun.
Yeah,
that look fun.
Really, the Eagles are, in a word, now off the field, I guess you can't say it's boring because there's a hell of a lot happening. But Rhea, watching the game for 3 hours?
See, I'd rather
watch Mama's Family for 3 hours, and I hated that show.
Mama's Family was good.
Yeah, it's fine.
I hated
that show. Mama's Family was way underrated. You got to give Mama's Family a chance.
I hated that show. But the point is,
it's what Nick failed to realize on Sunday. We watched you watched at home. We watched in the stadium for 3+ hours. It was a chore.
Well, and it's part of why his apology yesterday was incomplete.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, dude, like,
read the room.
Read the room. Read the city. Take the full inventory of what's going
read
on.
Read the room. I mean, that's so crazy. It's so crazy to suggest that he can read the room.
Well, that's part of the job.
After what we saw on Sunday.
Well, look,
after the way he felt, he so self-satisfied after beating that Browns team by 4 points.
Right. No, exactly.
It was tied with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter against a Browns team that had no right being on the same field, like personnel-wise, roster-wise, compared to our Eagles.
And self-satisfied is a bad thing. It's something the Sixers have had for a number of years. Joel has had.
Oh.
Like, go do something before you strut.
Tell you one thing, man. Tyrese Maxey better be ready to score a lot of points this year. They might need him to go for 65 every game. All right, John, a hyperextended.
Paul George, he'll be okay.
So eight to
you know what?
He'll be okay ultimately, but will he be okay for the start in 8 days? Just gut feeling, John. Hyperextended knee, eight days.
Of course, my gut feeling says, yeah, I personally have hyperextended my knee, and you know that you do it. You know that it hurts. You know, it's going to feel a little bit wonky when they check it out and they tell you that all those ligaments that are in there are stable and that you're not going to do more damage, you know, that everything that matters is good, then you should be good to go. But it seems like these hyperextensions in the NBA and other sports, that it keeps guys out indefinitely.
Well, it's a tremendous amount of running.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
how they're going to deal with this.
Look, I'd be surprised. It's just gut feeling. What do I know? But in 8 days, I'd be surprised if he plays on an opening day. I mean, the bottom line is in basketball, it's an incredible amount of jumping and running and leaping and landing.
What you have to worry about.
Incredible amount of landing.
And it just doesn't matter as much.
At this point.
That's right.
You know, like, what, we worry about Paul George in the playoffs, right. The rest of the season, right. Like, why That's force true. It? You know?
But it's a tremendous disappointment.
Of course it is. Yeah, no, of course.
A situation where the injury is acute, meaning, you know, it's not, that it's recent enough that you still have swelling when you go out there and run on the court.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem. And as long as you keep going out there and making it worse because you're pounding on it.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
And so, one thing, John, I'll say related to football as compared to basketball, you as a fullback and most NFL players, I guess with the exception of wide receivers generally and D-backs a bit, football players don't land on their legs that often. You run, you fall 100 times a game, but you don't land by jumping and coming down after a 3 feet jump. Basketball players are constantly jumping and landing. That can't be good for a hyperextended knee. You got a 35-year-old athlete, and by the way, you're paying him $250 million or something like that. Whatever. So what is it, $215, $220, $230, whatever it is.
A lot.
It's over $200 million for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
All right, James, give me a quick ruling on Sirianni's press conference yesterday, and then we'll get right to the phones. And again, Sirianni with us at 840. James, the apology, did it work for you?
Not really. Like, I appreciated that he apologized, you know, that he put a hat in hand and all that. And he did look and sound contrite, which I appreciate. But yeah, it's just there's too much encompassed in what happened yesterday for that apology to cover it all.
All right, let's go to the phones. Where you stand, the apology, the football team, 215-592-9494. Rich in South Philly. Rich, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, folks.
What's up, Rich?
Good. One, I don't think that was a good apology. He should have let off with it.
Should have. Like, yeah.
He should have let off with
like
it.
Somebody made him do it. That's
oh,
one.
There was no question in my mind that it felt like it was, you know, he was in trouble. He was scolded and then told, hey, you have to go make it right. I don't think, if that's me, if I'm the organization, if I'm the front office, I don't think I'm satisfied with the way that he tried to make it right.
Well, and especially because I think the general... Look, Rich, we'll find out over the next few hours. My strong suspicion is general consensus will be people don't feel it was sufficient. So now, you know, the one thing I know about public figures, they don't like to apologize. You know what they don't like even more? When they have to apologize for the apology.
That's always a favorite.
It's a disaster when that happens.
Better do a better job. Do a quality apology job in the first
it
place.
It makes it so much easier. Yeah. You know, just take your medicine. And it's like he only took about a quarter of the medicine yesterday, Rich.
Yeah. Now, another thing about the team. You know what I've seen that I haven't seen in a while? A flea flicker. And how y'all were saying how boring the Eagles offense is.
You generally got to be under center for that, and they don't do that. So, you know.
We got all this talent.
You don't have to be under center for that.
No flea flickers, no reverses, no double reverses. I mean, that's just boring.
There is something to be said for that, Rich. This, when you contrast our offense with the Detroit Lions offense. Now, you can say a lot about Dan Campbell and everything that they do, and you know Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator. He's flashy. He likes to run the ball an awful lot. I love that part. It feels like every week he designs more new plays that are exciting and fun that the fans are going to love. I saw in that Dallas game, I saw him do this reverse pass thing to Penei Sewell, who is their right tackle. They're trying to get him a touchdown. And when that thing gets derailed because of penalties and stuff, he's got other plays that get offensive linemen involved where he's trying to let's get a touchdown for everybody. The guy's unbelievable. I love seeing that. I guarantee every player in that offense and on the defense for that matter loves that they can get excited about the football that they're playing. We don't have anything close to that. I wish we did. We need to get back to where we can be excited about football, but in order to get there, you need to have more plays. You need to get out there and actually have a first 15 that works so you drive and have 15 plays. It feels like by the time we're out of the first half, we still don't have 15 under our belt half the time.
Well, no.
Because we can't get started offensively. It's the numbers are incredible. I don't know if you've seen them or not.
Go for it.
The numbers, I took these, my gosh, the notes. You go back, the first week one, three plays. Week two,
this
four
is the
plays.
Opening drive.
These are the opening drives of this season. I think this was Brandon Lee Gowton on Twitter.
Okay.
Week one was three plays, minus 5 yards and an interception. Week two, four plays, 19 yards and a punt. Week three, three plays, minus 9 yards and a punt. Mm. Week four, three plays, 2 yards and a punt. Week five, three plays, 5 yards and a punt. And just with all the time and effort that goes into perfecting those first 15 plays, from my experience, having seen this as a player, it's incomprehensible.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To me. That with all that time and effort poured into this concept, making sure these plays work,
yeah,
that they never do.
Do you have a theory? Because I don't. I mean, the only theory I had, and I said it entering the bye, is I think Jalen runs more as the game goes on, and that puts some pressure on the D. It's not as much pressure as it used to be, but some pressure. And I think that explains a little bit why they generally pick it up in the second half. But I don't really have a theory, John, of why they can't score in the first quarter. Do you?
They're the only NFL team that hasn't. If you stink and you don't string plays together because you don't, you know, get enough yards, you don't have enough plays to
no. But
have
do you have a theory
chance.
Of
That's
why? Do
are.
You have a theory of why they fail in the first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the quarterback's not good enough. The play calling's not good enough. The play design's not good enough. It's an ongoing saga. The offensive line at times is not good enough. You know, like now I am very worried with Jordan Mailata being down.
That's big, man.
Man, this is something that we took for granted.
Yeah.
The offensive line being effective, being stout. What happens if they're not?
No, I get it, man. Look, 215-592-9494. Guys, we all watch all these games. If you've got a theory on why they don't score in the first quarter, I'm all ears because I don't know the answer.
No one else in the league is doing it.
I mean, it may be circumstantial. Maybe they just happen to that. Those are the times when they're more likely to jump off sides and Jalen's more inaccurate and this happens and a guy slips and then
Once
that happens.
Once it's reached this many
I'm
games,
with you,
Joe,
Rhea.
It's not inconsequential.
What's your theory?
My theory is... What I see from Nick Sirianni sometimes, you know, in these news cards, that he's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering how organized these offensive meetings are.
But then the question is, how do they then get organized in the third quarter when they start scoring? Yeah. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Like, I don't know how the pyramids were built. I don't know Stonehenge. Well, and I don't know why the Eagles started
scoring. But if the first organized. 15 are scripted.
I mean, that's the most basic thing, that they script them bad. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, that's definitely...
Well, yeah, it's poorly planned. They've done a bad job as coaches, and it does fix things when you can just put that ball up there, and A.J. Brown is the
but
best
you can do that
on
in
the field.
But you can do that in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. I mean, why that's what I'm trying to understand. All right. What is this, Seltzer? Bittersweet Symphony?
Bittersweet Symphony.
Right, can you
the
explain
verve.
It? Can you explain to me the sweet part right now?
They won the football game.
Okay.
I mean, right? The entire NFC East lost. And this might be the most upset we've ever been after the Eagles win and all other teams in the division lost.
That's probably true. Other than a potential injury situation like Carson or Randall.
Absolutely.
I have to look up the specific days. But yeah, T.O. They're probably the three big injuries, right, of our lifetime from an Eagles standpoint. In the moment when you're devastated, Randall.
Yeah.
T.O. and Carson.
Bryce Pop.
I don't even know what... Yeah, no,
I've
Bryce,
never
Bryce
forgotten
Pop.
His name.
We
Bryce
never will.
Pop, of course.
We never will. We'll
I
never
know
forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember where I was, remember how I felt, the whole thing.
All right, good morning to all. Let's get to...
I was walking on the sideline late when Terrell got hurt because I was hurt.
Okay.
And there was something that happened in the locker room. It was the only game I'd ever been late coming out
Were you a naughty boy?
I don't know.
Were you late to the stadium?
I don't remember what it was, but I was tardy. I was tardy, and I remember feeling like, oh no, like I'm somehow cut off from where I'm supposed to be because under the stadium part, like where you run out, you know, like where the offense is introduced.
Sure.
I'm over there, and the team is on the sideline. The game has begun.
Now, to be fair to everyone listening right now, you might not remember. John was injured, so he's not playing.
He's not in uniform running around by himself. It doesn't really matter.
So, I'm wearing sweats, and I'm in there. I'm just trying to contribute in a positive way, if I can. And, I'm limping out onto the field late. But there was something I was doing. There was something important. As I'm walking on the sideline thinking like, wow, I'm in the way. Am I going to get in trouble for being here? That's when that tackle happened. And it was right on that sideline that I was like limping in on.
Well, that was wild.
Standing right there, it really was wild.
Changed the NFL because they put a rule in because of it.
Yes, they did.
That was the horse collar
tackle. Yes, they did.
All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get to, we have not one, but two different Twitter poll questions of the day today. Both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, the all-new 2025 Equinox sets the bar on styling. And Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, were you satisfied by Nick Sirianni's apology yesterday? Yes or no? I put myself in the no category. It was nice, but not enough. Not comprehensive enough, not specific enough.
I don't even know that it was nice, Joe.
No, it was nice. Ben Simmons never apologized.
You're right.
There's a lot of people
Doc Rivers never apologized.
Yeah. He never apologized.
Yeah, it is nice.
But what Nick said, sorry on how my energy was directed at the end of the game. That's the root of the apology.
I know.
You know, it kind of misses the mark.
John, I have a simple question. What was he trying? The game was over. Where was he bringing the energy and enthusiasm to his walk up the tunnel?
Well,
the post game speech.
Yeah,
that's why it made no sense.
Well, of course.
No, that's a great. That's
it's
a great
nonsense.
Point.
I mean, most of what he says feels like it's nonsense. It's just par for the course.
Here's my guess. He probably entered coming out of the bye. Players talked to him. My guess is he entered the day with the mindset to try to have sustained energy to try to turn that frown upside down. Like, that's my guess. So what he did post-game is, and at the very end of the game, in his mind, maybe not different than when he's jawing with a couple Cleveland Browns players in the first quarter. My guess is he's trying to sustain it throughout. Mm-hmm. The problem is he looks ridiculous.
They're in victory formation.
And here's the thing. Listen, unless a fan in the stands said something so wildly inappropriate. Like, I was the guy that supported Vernon Maxwell punching that fan years ago. I mean, Vernon Maxwell had
there are lines that when they're crossed, I have, like, respond. Yeah. Sorry, like, that's fine. I get it.
Like, I was all about Jermaine O'Neal punching that fan that was on the floor at
the
Palace.
In the Palace, yeah.
I mean, Jermaine O'Neal belongs on the floor. Let me tell you, he doesn't belong on the floor. A fan. Who, by the way, is coming up to Jermaine O'Neal
with his arms in a
boxing stance.
Yeah.
So, like, I have no problem with Jermaine O'Neal defending himself. Zero. So unless there was something so wildly inappropriate said to Nick Sirianni, what are you doing?
Way stronger chance at that stadium than what I heard on Sunday.
Even then, it could the chant is about his family or his children or something. I don't care what it is. It could be like, I don't care what you say. Don't like your haircut.
Yeah. I get it. All right, second poll question. I don't know if we've ever done a fill in the blank poll ever, but we are today. The Eagles are a blank football team. Now, we could give you a lot of different choices here, and we could throw some adjectives in here, including an effing annoying team, but we're not going there. Selch, I can say that, right? You know, We're not going there.
Yeah, but you did.
Yeah, I did. All right. Here's the thing. We're just going three choices. The Eagles are a blank football team. Good, average, bad. There are choices. We're not even considering great. The Eagles are a good football team. The Eagles are an average football team. The Eagles are a bad football team. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Obviously, you can weigh in on the phone lines as well. Speaking of weighing in, Joe Conklin has weighed in because, John, as we know, Sirianni's kids, and God bless them, not their fault. Daddy's taking the kids where he shouldn't. John Conklin.
They do seem well behaved.
Oh, they seem like great kids.
Extremely well behaved.
And he seems like a great dad. Like, it's beautiful. Just not then and there. All right. So Conklin's got, you know, Sirianni's taking the kids where they probably shouldn't be. He's like all throughout town.
You can't just take kids anywhere you want.
There are certain spots. No, we're not going to a strip club, ladies and gentlemen. We're not taking them there. But we're going to a bank. Let's hear Joe Conklin.
Good morning, Mr. Sirianni. What brings you to Tinicum Savings and Loan?
I gotta get a new roof. I was told to put a lid on it.
Of course, that's what we're here for.
If I need a co-signer, I got my dad, Fran Sirianni, my brothers, Mike and Jay Sirianni, all three great coaches. But my mom is a great football mom.
I see you brought your children. A little unusual, but...
I like to show them what goes on with my day.
Oh!
Our newest teller just fainted. She must have got a glimpse of you in that shaved head.
She'll be fine. She just got to pass concussion protocol. We just had two of our workers back this week. So what's up with that loan?
Mr. Sirianni will be in touch.
What do you mean by that? What the freak's going on around here? You know, I apologize for raising my voice. You've showed more than enough wisdom and discernment here. Come on, kids, let's just go.
Look, you got to know time. You got to know place. Come on, Nick. James, what if Sirianni, when he does the interview with us today at 8:40, what if he pops the kids on? Like, I say, all right, let's go to Nick Sirianni. Hi.
Honestly, I'd respect the bit at this point. I would be like, you know what? That was pretty funny, man.
It would right.
be pretty funny. Yeah. I'd laugh.
Oh, my God. All right, so Conklin's dialed up a couple of these for us today. We'll have some fun with Sirianni's kids around town. And again, it's not about the kids. It's about Nick making the decision to have them there, which obviously they shouldn't be in certain spots. We applaud the incomparable Joe Conklin, who obviously is phenomenal with what he did. Make sure you see Conklin. You know, you can always book him for a private event at joeconklin.com, but you can also see Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School on Saturday, October 26th. Also at the Media Theater on State Street and Media on Saturday, November 16th. It is the story of Philly sports through music. Get tickets at joeconklin.com.
And of course, it's Conklin's Comedy Night 360 at Parks Casino this Thursday, October 17th. See Taylor Mason from America's Got Talent. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and include a free drink. Tickets at joeconklin.com.
Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Lamar right now. He's calling from Springfield. Good morning, Lamar. Lamar Jackson.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Buddy. How are you, pal?
Hey. No, I'm all right. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Oh, well, I'm just tired of getting on the radio every morning and listening to y'all come down on Nick for his antics. Like, I got to be like one of at least some fans out there that love what he's got going on.
Okay.
All right.
So explain why. Give me your thought.
But you call them antics? You love them, but they're called antics?
Hey, good. John would be a good lawyer right there. All right, Lamar, no, why do you like his actions?
Those were more air quotes, but.
Understood.
Yeah, it just doesn't bother me. Him coming at, like, I actually love his energy coming off the field after a win and being able to interact with the fans a little bit. Like, I don't mind that. And I just feel like we've become a sensitive fan base when it comes to Nick.
Do you think that the players, do you think that it makes him a more effective coach? Do you think it makes him better at teaching these players how to be good football players? I don't know. I don't think so.
I just think that we need to focus more on, like, what's going on in the game, actual.
Well, that's
game.
Part,
yeah,
that's
I think
part
he
of
needs
it,
to
Lamar.
Focus more on what's going on in the game.
But hold on. Let me just say this. So what happens on the field matters more, no question.
Yeah.
The problem with what happened on the field the other day was unimpressive by the Eagles. They won, but it was unimpressive.
Yeah.
If I get in a fight with your grandmom, I'm supposed to win. I'm not going to fight his grandma.
Agree.
You know, is this you?
This me.
Against his grandma.
This is 46-year-old me. Versus,
I don't think you are supposed to win.
Versus a 90-year-old grandma.
No, Lamar's grandma can probably.
But take
she's
you.
Favored.
But Lamar,
she's probably favored.
Lamar, here's my point. I'm supposed to win. I'm not going to gloat afterwards. That's where it's like Sirianni to me was so out of touch. They barely beat the grandmom, and he's strutting. Don't do that.
But see, this is him, though. This is never.
Well, you're right about that.
But I don't.
This has never been a change of. Like, this is always how he's been. And even in 2022, when they were great, he was still doing the same stuff. Like, I don't think that it's causing the problem. I don't think that it is the problem.
But is that who you want to be? Is that who you want your team to be? A team that struts when it barely beats a bottom feeder?
Now, listen, we had, like I said, we have problems. We definitely have problems going on, and we need to focus on those actual problems. I don't think Nick's antics, his actions have anything to do with the problems that are going on. I just think that's Nick, and that's always going to be Nick. And I think everybody should let Nick be Nick.
All right, Lamar, listen, your opinion is noted. I mean, there is a theory, and I know John believes in it, and I tend to believe it as well, that what we see publicly with the antics is part of why they're not a better football team, meaning that he probably is that way quite a bit behind the scenes Monday to Saturday when we don't see him.
If he can't clearly convey his ideas to us, or, you know, like, he is a teacher.
Let me give an example.
He prides himself on being a teacher. If you can't convey your ideas clearly, you're not an effective teacher.
All right,
I worry about that.
No, I do too. Let me give an example. So this isn't about antics. This is about methodology. So we, as a fan base now for 3.5 years with Nick Sirianni, have heard about his family, namely his father and his brothers, because they're the ones involved in football. We've heard about him probably over 100 times. Now, I don't know an Eagles fan that doesn't roll their eyes at this point when you hear it. It's nice. It's great that he's got that love for his family. It's great that he learned football from his dad and in conjunction with his brothers. That's great. But most Eagles fans roll their eyes when they hear it. I can't imagine that the players, particularly those that have been here for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I can't imagine, John, when he goes there in a locker room, in a speech, in a meeting, I can't imagine they don't roll their eyes at this point, right? And that's not about
it works
antics. That's just about methodology, and I find it irritating. I would think players do, especially pro football players that are tired of hearing about high school and frickin' state it was.
I can't believe he goes back to the Division III stuff the way that he does. That makes no sense to me. There is a level of respect that I think you're docking yourself. Like, don't draw attention to certain things.
I mean, these are world-class athletes. I know this. I wouldn't take that to LeBron James. If I'm talking to LeBron James, I'm not going to talk about, no offense, guys, Swarthmore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not – Swarthmore, don't get mad at me. I think you get the point. Pro athletes, there's egos, there's accomplishment, there's skill set.
But
at a world-class level, let's not talk about D2 and D3. I mean, come on.
But that's the thing. It is as bizarre – him talking like D3, like it's the end-all, be-all, that's bizarre. What he did, the way that he talked to the team, the way that he talked to us after that game, equally as bizarre. I mean, I can't put it out of the realm of possibility that that's something he didn't do
because he
can do bizarre things.
I agree. And by the way, as far as his actual antics, let's say, not so much just the methodology, but the antics. So Dave Zingaro did a good job yesterday going back and finding the quote from Jeffrey Lurie in the offseason. This goes back to March. Now, I'm gonna read this quote, and then I'm going to use the word, ready, John? You discern.
Oh, good.
All right, here we go. Here's what Lurie said back in March, as Dave Zingaro posted it yesterday. Lurie said, talking about Sirianni's antics, let's say. Lurie said, I think, first of all, one of the aspects that makes Nick really good is he's authentic. He doesn't hold back. That can also be a negative at times. On the sideline, you don't want to infuriate the referees. I always worry about, you know, I want the referees to give us a fair shake, so I don't want him to overreact. But I love his passion. So I think he recognizes that it can be a little bit counterproductive if he overdoes his own passion. But you don't want to stop where that passion is coming from. So you got to find a sweet spot. And I think he wants to find a sweet spot of what that looks like. I love his passion, though. It's a reasonable quote by Jeffrey Lurie.
Sure.
You know, and the reality is, I think the last caller's saying is, like, there's that song years ago, Let Me Be Me, right? Whatever that horrible song was. I think that's the caller's point. If this is who Sirianni is, sink or swim with him being him. And look, there is something to be said for that, which makes you say, is he the right coach? If this is what he is, then do you have the right coach if he's got to be that way to be him?
At a basic level, you can't turn around and go after your own fans in your own building. I mean, that has to just be a given.
That's horrible.
It's
By the way,
given.
I misquoted the song. It wasn't Let Me Be Me. I was getting confused with, like, what was it,
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, you know what I was trying to think of? I swear to God, boy, did I butcher the quote. She loves me for me. You remember that song?
Yes.
It's so cheesy. She loves me for me, not because I'm, you know, built like Arnold Schwarzenegger or money like Elon Musk. She loves me for me. What a horrible frickin' song. Whoever wrote that song should be ashamed. Get a life.
They made a lot of money,
get a life, loser.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.